This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In last Sunday's sermon from Acts chapter 23, we learned about Paul's witness to the Jerusalem Sanhedrin, which was a group or council of Jewish religious leaders. Now, even though they hated Paul's teaching about Jesus and even threatened him with death, Paul stood firm on the truth of God's word and put his faith in Christ. Now, since Paul was a Roman citizen and therefore was entitled to legal rights under Roman law, the Roman military commander in Jerusalem decided to send Paul north to Caesarea to be tried under Governor Felix, who would hear Paul's case. And that takes us to our reading for today from Acts chapter 24. Now, at the beginning of our reading, we see that various Jewish leaders travel from Jerusalem to Caesarea to present their case against Paul before Governor Felix. However, their case against Paul was filled with false information and half-truths. I think Felix sensed this, and so he asks Paul to give his side of the story. Now first, Paul makes it clear that many accusations from the Jews against him are simply false. However, Paul then goes on to admit something that is totally true about him. Paul said, "I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets. And I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man." Did you hear what Paul said? He stressed that he worshipped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he did that as a follower of the way. You might recall that the first Christians stressed that Jesus claimed to be the only way to the Father. And so when Paul said that he worshipped God as a follower of the way, he was thereby stressing that the whole Old Testament pointed to Jesus and was fulfilled in his work for us. In fact, Jesus himself taught this. In John chapter 5, you can read these words of Jesus to the unbelieving Jewish leaders. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?" No wonder the Jewish leaders hated Paul. Paul was telling them the same thing Jesus told them, and they hated Paul for it. Simply put, Paul was teaching that a true Jew would see that the whole Old Testament pointed to Jesus. To deny this would be to deny the entire purpose of the Old Testament. With that said, let's get back to our reading from Acts chapter 24. Paul goes on to stress that many of the charges the Jews have against him are unfounded, except for the confession that he had made earlier before the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. In fact, we heard this confession last Sunday, and Paul then repeats it in today's reading. Here's what Paul said before the Sanhedrin that got them so upset. He said, "It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." Now you have to understand something here. Even though many of the Jews believed there would be a resurrection of the dead and a final judgment, they were upset with Paul because he was teaching that they would be resurrected only to face damnation unless they repented of their sins and trusted in Jesus, the only one who could save them from God's wrath on the final day of judgment. So even though they agreed with Paul that there would be a resurrection and a final judgment, They disagreed with him that they needed to trust in Jesus to be safe on the final day. And that's why they became so upset with him. Even though Paul agreed with them on the resurrection and the final judgment, they disagreed with them about Jesus. Well, next, Luke tells us that Governor Felix adjourned the meeting and told the Roman centurion to keep Paul safe and allow his friends to attend to his needs. And then, several days later, Felix came back with his wife, Drusilla. And Luke tells us that Drusilla was a Jew. And this may explain why Felix, even though a Gentile, had some basic knowledge of the Old Testament. Well, what's interesting is that Felix asked Paul to come and to speak to both of them about faith in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine Paul's reaction? I bet he said, "Yes, of course I will." Imagine, here Felix gives Paul an open invitation to come and teach him and his wife about what it means to be a Christian. Paul doesn't hesitate for a second. In fact, Luke tells us what Paul talked to them about. Basically, three things. He spoke about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Allow me to briefly explain what each of these means. First, Paul taught them about how it is possible for sinners like us to be righteous before a holy God. He explained how we can do nothing to make ourselves worthy. You see, no amount of our good works can cancel our sin and make us righteous in God's sight. That's the big lie in our world today. You meet some people who are involved in certain sins, but this is their attitude. They say, "Well, you know, overall I'm a good person. Oh, I admit I do these couple things that the Bible says are sin, but look at all the good things I do. Obviously, all these good things will cancel out my sin because, hey, after all, I'm a basically good person." But that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches we are all by nature sinful. It teaches if we break the law at just one point, we're guilty of breaking all of it. So this sinful, arrogant idea that we can somehow cut deals with God and justify our sin by pointing out all our good works is a sign that we are an unbeliever. In fact, listen to what Paul writes in the book of Romans. He says, "No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are declared righteous freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Did you notice? Paul didn't leave Felix and Drusilla any wiggle room. None. Paul made it clear that we are all sinners who deserve God's wrath, and our only hope is to repent of our sins and trust in Jesus as the only Savior that God has given us. My friends, we must continue to give this faithful witness about righteousness in our world today. Many people in our culture think it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere and as long as you're a good person. But the fact is, many people are sincerely wrong and will be lost forever unless they acknowledge their sin and trust in Jesus as their only Savior. Now, the second thing Paul taught to Felix and Drusilla was Christ's teaching about self-control. Simply put, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin and shows you that you deserve God's wrath, and when the same Holy Spirit convinces you that you are forgiven and holy in God's sight because of God's Son who died in your place of damnation, such Spirit-created repentance and faith results in self-control. In other words, self-control means that we're no longer comfortable with the sin in our lives. As Christians, we feel guilt and shame over our sin. And this leads us to cling to Christ not only for the assurance that we're forgiven, but also for the strength that we need to say no to sin and yes to God's loving plan for our lives. You know what this means? If someone claims to believe in Jesus, but that same person has no desire to worship God, no desire to hear God's word preached, no desire to support the work of Christ's church, no conviction over his or her sin, no desire to amend his or her sinful life, then you can be pretty sure that person is not a true Christian and actually does not believe at all. I want you to listen to what Paul writes in Romans 6. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" Simply put, we die to sin when God moves us to repent and when God moves us to trust in Jesus as our only Savior. Repentance and faith on a daily basis is what it means to live out our baptism. Now, please understand, by saying this, I am not suggesting that true Christians never sin. In fact, I struggle with sin every single day. Instead, what I'm teaching is this. The Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin and the Holy Spirit who gives us faith in Jesus, this same Holy Spirit also gives us self-control. That is, a desire and a determination to turn away from sin and to live according to God's Word. Self-control means striving to live in a way that honors God in response to the forgiveness and love He gives us in Jesus. You see, my friends, believing in Jesus is much more than simply knowing that Jesus lived and died and rose again. The devil believes this. Instead, believing in Jesus means that the Holy Spirit has convicted you of sin and has moved you to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And of course, that then will result in a life of self-control, being moved to grieve over the sin in your life and to trust in Jesus for the strength to turn your life around. And even though we will struggle with various sins our entire lives, even though we might even fall during times of weakness, self-control means that God will move us to repent of such sins, to trust in Jesus, and to strive to conform our lives to His will. Finally, after teaching about righteousness and self-control, Paul speaks about the judgment to come. That's not something you hear about very often today in many pulpits, the final judgment, but Scripture talks about it a lot. In fact, we confess this in the creeds, don't we? We believe that Christ will return to judge the living and the dead. Simply put, some will end up facing eternal damnation, and others will end up spending eternity in God's love. And now I'm going to get personal. How do you know what your destiny will be? Listen to Jesus' own words in John chapter 3. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Simply put, you can know how things will end up for you on the day of judgment based on what you think of Jesus here and now. So on the one hand, if people don't take their sins seriously, if they have no desire to worship God or hear His word, if Jesus is not important to them, if they think God will have mercy on them because they have done a few good works, well then such people need to know that they are already condemned. And as long as they remain in that state of unbelief, they have no hope on the final day. Now, I'm not saying this to be mean. In fact, the only way such people can be saved is to hear the truth about their spiritual condition so that the Holy Spirit will move them to repent and trust in Jesus. Then and only then can they have hope on the day of judgment. So, do you have hope on the day of judgment? Well, do you acknowledge the sins in your life and do you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Does this belief in Jesus result in a life of self-control, that is, conviction over the sin in your life and a desire to do better? Do you believe that you are righteous before God only because of Jesus and the forgiveness and the holiness that only He can give you? If so, then you have nothing to fear on the day of judgment. You see, this is all evidence that God has saved you and that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Through faith in Jesus, you are not condemned. Through faith in Jesus, you are righteous before God, here and now. So in a nutshell, that is what Paul said to Felix and Drusilla when he told them about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. But notice what Luke writes about Felix's reaction. He says, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now." Now, why was Felix afraid? At first you might think he was afraid because Paul had fire and brimstone. No. Remember, Paul talked about what righteousness means. He talked about how any sinner, no matter how bad they are, can come to Jesus and through faith in Him know that they are completely forgiven and holy in God's sight. That kind of preaching takes fear away. So why was Felix afraid? I'll tell you why. Felix was afraid because it was not convenient for him to be a Christian. He wasn't afraid of God's judgment because he knew he could have forgiveness through Jesus. Instead, he was afraid of giving up his life of unbelief. You see, Felix did not want to repent of his sin. Felix did not want to follow Jesus. Felix loved his life of unbelief too much. So he sent Paul away. It wasn't convenient for Felix to hear God's word anymore. And he brought Paul back only when he thought Paul might bribe him. But he made sure that Paul didn't preach anymore because it was not convenient for Felix to hear God's word. Now, what can we learn from this? My friends, when we are listening to God's word, when God's word is being preached to us, the devil will tempt us to become afraid. Not afraid of God's judgment, because the devil knows that God makes it clear to us that we can have forgiveness and holiness and love through Jesus. There's nothing to fear when you have Jesus. But what does the devil try to do to make us afraid? He tempts us to think that repenting of our sin and trusting in Jesus and living according to God's will actually be bad for us. He tempts us to think that following Jesus will mean leaving behind something else that's far better. He will tempt us to say, "That's enough for now. No more preaching. This isn't convenient for me. I'm going to go and do my own thing." The devil will tempt us to be afraid of what hearing God's word might do to us. And if that happens, we will end up like Felix, ignoring God's word and focusing on the things of this world. But my friends, that doesn't have to be our fate. Do you think it's an accident that you're here today? You are here today because God led you to this place so that you could hear the same preaching that Paul gave to Felix. And here's what Paul says to you today. Here's what God is saying to you today. He's saying, do not be afraid. Come to me with your sin and I will forgive you for the sake of my Son who died in your place of judgment. Trust in my love and know true joy and true peace. Hear my word and study my word and you will receive wisdom to avoid the devil's lies and to live as my children. I know what's best for you. I have a good plan for you. Believe in my Son and you will not be condemned. Follow me. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.